Well, if you'll step inside this great glass elevator, it'll take us up above the city lights, to where the planet curves away to the equator. I want to show you something fine. You can see the roads that we all travel just to get here. A million minuscule decisions in a line. Why they brought us to this moment isn't clear, but that's all right, we've got all night. Well, could it be that the many roads you took to get here were just for me to tell this story, and for you to hear this song, and your many hopes and your many fears were meant to bring you here all along. So if you'll trust me with your time, I'll spend it wisely, and I will sing to you with all I have to give. 'Cause if you traveled all this way, then I will do my best to play my biggest hits that don't exist. And if you'll lend to me your ear, I'll sing them pretty, and I will never ever sing them out of tune. And I will not forget the words of any chorus, bridge, or verse, I promise you. 'Cause it could be that the many roads you took to get here were just for me to tell this story, and for you to hear this song, and your many hopes and your many fears were meant to bring you here all along. 'Cause we got Benjamin to play that grand piano. Well, if we're lucky, it's a little out of tune. And we've got Andy on the guitar, 'cause I promised him some Texas barbecue. I usually sing this with my friends Ben and Andy, but they're not here. That just realized that didn't work this time, sorry. Well, how I love to watch you listen to the music, 'cause you sing to me a music of your own. As I cast out all these lines, so afraid that I will find I am alone, all alone. Well, could it be that the many roads I took to get here were just for me to hear that story, and for you to sing that song, and my many hopes and my many fears were meant to bring me here all along. We were meant to be right here all along.
Thank you, guys. Well, how many of you guys were at the Christian Student Fellowship thing last night? Was anybody here? A few of you guys. Hey, everybody. Sorry you're going to hear some of these songs twice. I only have so many. I'm going to do this song about, I wrote this song about the triumphal entry. You know, Palm Sunday, Jesus rides the donkey into the Jerusalem, and they're waving the palm branches. One of the things that they're saying is this word, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. And a lot of people think that Hosanna is a title or that it's a name for Jesus, but Hosanna is this old Hebrew word that means save us. And I remember when I was reading about that, I thought how beautiful it initially literally meant that, but over the years it kind of morphed into this word that they shouted it in processions. And I remember thinking how beautiful it was that one word could be a cry for help and a shout of praise. That when you say Hosanna, save me, you're acknowledging that you need saving. And in the very same breath, acknowledging that Christ is the only one who can do it. So there's a lot packed into this one word. I thought it was beautiful. And so I wanted to write a song that would be my own personal cry for help / shout of praise. And so it's basically just a song about what a dirtbag I am with this refrain, because thank goodness Christ can save you. So so if you would sing with me in the chorus of the song, your part is,
I'm a dirtbag.
I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Your part is, oh, Hosanna. That's all it is. Here comes one more time.
Oh, Hosanna.
It's great.
Well, I am tangled up in contradictions. I am strangled by my own two hands. I am hunted by the hounds of addiction. Hosanna. I have lied to everyone who trusts me. And I have tried to fall when I could stand. And I have only loved the ones who love me. Hosanna. Hosanna. Oh, Hosanna. See the long-awaited King come to set his people free. We cry, oh, Hosanna. Won't you tear this temple down? Raise it up on holy ground. Hosanna. Hosanna. I've struggled to remove this raiment. I've tried to hide every shimmering strand. As I contend with these ghosts and these hosts of bright angels, Hosanna. And I have cursed the man that you have made me. Oh, I have nursed the beast that bays for my blood. And I run from the one who would save me. Save me, Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, Hosanna. See the long-awaited King come to set his people free. We cry, oh, Hosanna. Won't you tear the temple down? Raise it up on holy ground. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. And we cry for blood, and we take your life, Hosanna. And we cry for blood, and we take your life. It is blood, it is life that you have given. And you have crushed beneath your heel the vile serpent. You have carried to the grave the black stain. You have torn apart the temple's holy curtain. And you have beaten death at death's own game. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hail the long-awaited King come to set his people free. We cry, oh, Hosanna. Won't you tear this temple down? Raise it up on holy ground. And oh, Hosanna. I will lift my voice and sing. You come and wash me clean. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna.
Thanks, you guys. Okay, so I'm going to do one. It's kind of a new song. I'm going to play this against my better judgment because it's hard to play. And so I wrote this. I grew up in this little town in North Florida called Lake Butler, and it's the home of Florida State Prison. We're very proud. Most of my friends in high school went on to either be teachers in the local school or they worked at the prison. And my mom was actually one of the prison employees. She was the lady that sat behind the big desk whenever a new prisoner came in, and she interviewed them and entered in like data, and then they would walk away. And so she always took this opportunity whenever the prisoners were in her office to say, "Now, if you were following the Lord, this might not have happened." hilarious. She's about this tall and wears her glasses low on her nose and was rated the highest in her group for marksmanship with a pistol. really scary. And so, anyway, I don't know why I told you that. Oh, so Lake Butler, I grew up in this little town. My dad was a preacher, and it was like a little Mayberry-type town. And from a very young age, I remember wanting to leave. And I didn't have a bad home life. It was all good. But I just remember several times packing my bags and actually sneaking out and walking away, thinking I was just going to go live this Tom Sawyer life of adventure. And more than once in high school, even, I got far enough, like 2 miles out of town, and was planning to hitchhike and then would think about my mom's casseroles and come home. But I just remember that I always wanted my life to be this adventure. I wanted to leave and go somewhere and do something great and see the world. And so I got married when I was 19. I was a freshman in college when I met my future wife. She was a junior. And so we got married my sophomore year. It was halfway through my sophomore year. It was great. A lot of people said it was a bad idea, but I thought it was kind of awesome. So the thing is, I've got 3 kids now. I've been married for 16 years, and I've come to realize that the real adventure isn't staying put. The real adventure is the journey into the heart and soul of another human being. And there's this great C.S. Lewis quote where he talks about how he says, you have never met a mere mortal. That the people you're rubbing your elbows with right now are the crown of God's creation, you know, more majestic than the stars in the heavens, more intricate than, you know, the tiniest diamond. And so it's a pretty fascinating way to live. And so I've got these 3 kids that are amazing. So the idea for the song was finished about a year and a half ago when I was talking to a neighbor. I live in Nashville. Nashville's, you know, I don't know how many of you guys have been there, but it's just kind of a normal old city, kind of hilly, and we live just south of town in the subdivision. My neighbor said, "Oh yeah, have you been to the cave?" And I said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "There's a cave system underneath our subdivision, and there's only one cave system like this in the entire Nashville area, and it's underneath our house, basically." And he knew how to get to the entrance. And so on one day, I met this guy and a few other dudes, walked through the woods kind of near the subdivision, and sure enough, there's this the mouth of a cave, and we spent 3.5 hours spelunking underneath my house and the houses in our neighborhood. And supposedly they had to do all this geological surveying before they could build up the subdivision because they wanted to make sure none of the homes would fall into the caverns below them. I think that's awesome. So I don't know what it does to my home value, but it was really cool. So anyway, I wrote this song called World Traveler. Well, I grew up in a little town, a southern mix of lost and found, where most folks seem to stick around. Oh, but I could hear the highway song. I'd sit out on the dock till dawn and dream about the great beyond. I dream that I was a world traveler. Set me loose to find my way. Just get me out on the road someday with my sails unfurled. So many mysteries I wanted to unravel. If I could travel the world. Well, soon enough I had my way. I saw the world the Lord has made, mostly from the interstate. Oh, but I had hardly seen a thing until I gave that golden ring to the one who gave her heart to me. And I became a world traveler. That's the day I hit the road. I walk the hills of the human soul of a tender girl. I'm a world traveler. She opened the gate and took my hand, led me into the mystic land where her galaxies swirl. So many mysteries I never will unravel. I want to travel her world. Just take a left at the end of my street, just a few doors down, up the hill and into
to the trees. There's a hole in the ground where we traveled the caverns so deep. We wandered the wonders so wide. It was right beneath our feet. All this time, all this time. Well, tonight I saw the children in their rooms, little flowers all in bloom, burning suns and silver moon. And somehow in those starry skies, the image of the Maker lies right here beneath my roof tonight. So hold on tight, I'm a world traveler. I'm a world traveler. Pack your bags and dig down deep. Ride the storms and sail the seas to the distant pole. I'm a world traveler into these uncharted lands, to blaze a trail in the vast expanse of the heart and soul. In the grace of the God of peace, let's wade into the battle. So come on, come on with me and get up in that saddle. There's a million mysteries I never will unravel. So come on, let's travel the world. I wanna travel the world.
I told you I got married when I was 19 years old, and I got engaged when I was 19. I got married when I was 20. I just turned 20, and I remember I was in college. I just couldn't figure out why my father-in-law wasn't crazy about the idea of his beautiful daughter marrying this really skinny guy whose only prospect was that he had some songs he'd written. Didn't make sense. I was like, "Come on, have you heard these songs, dude? Those songs were so bad back then." Anyway, I got married to her, and it was great. And 15 years went by, and 15 years is long enough to look back over the course of a marriage and see seasons. You know, we got married, and everybody said, you know, the first year is the hardest, just the biggest adjustment, and we had no problem adjusting. It was just wonderful, and it wasn't until about year 7 that things got really hard. Things got bad, and we started, you know, thoughts start crossing your mind when marriage gets difficult. Like, I don't know if this is what I signed up for. And the answer to that question is it's exactly what you signed up for. Nothing worth doing is going to be easy. And, you know, God has, the Bible's full of, there's this theology of suffering in the Bible. It's very, very clear that God uses suffering to change you, to make it in you into who it is that he wants you to be. And I'm here to tell you that marriage is a sure way to create suffering in your life. I'm kind of joking and I'm kind of serious. Like, it is a wonderful thing and it ought to be honored, because this is an idea that God thought up. This isn't a human institution. This is something God came up with. And so, but at the same time, it's silly to deny the fact that what marriage is basically is it's a way that God has provided for us to learn what it means to die for another human being, to lay down our lives a little bit at a time every day, which is good news for people like me who are too cowardly to do it all at once, you know? And so it is. It's been a source of discipline and suffering, and it's been so good for me. So good for me. And so I say all that to say that, you know, when you, those of you who are going to get married soon, I don't know how many of that you that is, but a lot of people tend to go into it thinking, you know, this is, I'm sure that we'll get in some fights. This is going to be difficult, sure, but you're in for it. You know, it's just going to be really, really hard for you at times, and you're going to want to throw in the towel. But you're going to be forfeiting yourself of some of the great benefits. And so, I wrote this song for my wife right after our 15th wedding anniversary. It's 16 now, but last year when I wrote the song, we'd had our 15th wedding anniversary, went to this really nice dinner, and then about 4 days later, got in a big fight. And it was one of those goofy fights. I don't even remember what it was about, but it was the kind of fight where she went to bed crying, and you know, just so you know, those are the worst kind, when you can't work it out before bedtime. Because guys, we want to fix things. We want to open the hood of the car and get in there and repair it. And sometimes women are profoundly, beautifully complex. And and being very serious, there are deep mysteries. And so the man is called a lot of times to just stand in awe of that. Nod and shuffle your feet. And so we had to go to bed, you know, and she was crying, and I came downstairs, and I couldn't sleep, and I got out my guitar and decided to write her a song about how right I was. So, not really. So this is called about the wonderful peril of what it means to love another. Well, I was 19, you were 21, the year we got engaged. And everyone said we were much too young, but we did it anyway. We got the rings for 40 each from a pawn shop down the road. That's true. We said our vows and took the leap now 15 years ago. And we went dancing in the minefields. We went sailing in the storms. It was harder than we dreamed, but I believe that's what the promise is for. Well, I do are the two most famous last words, the beginning of the end. But to lose your life for another, I've heard, is a good place to begin. 'Cause the only way to find your life is to lay your own life down. And I believe it's an easy price for the life that we have found. And we're dancing in the minefields, and we're sailing in the storms. This is harder than we dream, but I believe that's what the promise is for. It's what the promise is for. So when I lose my way, find me. And when I loose love's chains, bind me at the end of all my faith, till the end of all my days. When I forget my name, remind me. 'Cause we bear the light of the Son of Man, so there's nothing left to fear. So I'll walk with you in the shadowlands till the shadows disappear. 'Cause he promised not to leave us, and his promises are true. So in the face of all this chaos, baby, I can dance with you. Oh, let's go dancing in the minefields. Let's go sailing in the storms. This is harder than we dream, but I believe it's what the promise is for. That's what the promise is for. So one of the great struggles that I have in my life is a lack of remembrance of my identity. I think that the root of a lot of our issues stems from the fact that we stop believing that we are who God says we are. And you know, when you become a Christian, when you lose your life for Christ, he gives you this new identity. The very marrow of your being, you are different. You are changed. You may not see it when you look in the mirror, but there's this great work that's happening in you every day. It's really hard for me to believe, because when I look in the mirror, I just see the dirtbag, you know? I see the guy whose sin I know very well. And it's really hard for me sometimes to believe that God could know me fully and love me. I know how dark my heart can be. And so I have this buddy who's in... Let me think of the best way to say this. Okay, so I have a buddy who's in a band, really, really popular band, mainstream bands that you know, they sell out arenas, that kind of thing. And he was telling me one time that he struggles deeply with these same issues, that he hears voices in his head, you know, that tell him lies about who he is. They challenge his identity. And he said that it got so bad that he ended up going and reading through the New Testament and writing down every one of the verses that says, you are a new creation, you were chosen by God, you are the righteousness of God. Crazy thought. He wrote down all those verses and put them on an index card and kept them in his back pocket. And right before he would go on stage, he would read through the verses to remember who he was. It was the only thing he could do to keep going because he was so plagued by this sense of self-loathing. And he was telling me this, and he and I are both giant nerds. I write fantasy novels when I'm not writing songs. So we were talking about The Matrix, and so there's that scene at the end of The Matrix you guys have probably seen where Neo, you know, the whole movie is about him not believing that he was the one, quote unquote, and at the very end they shoot him, they kill him, but in that moment he finally believes that he is the one, and it shows him stand up and he flexes his muscles and the walls go bruh, and it is awesome. But then, you know, the bad guys see him and they start firing their bullets. And what does he do? He holds up his hand and they stop in midair and he picks one up and looks at it quizzically like only Keanu can do. And they drop to the ground. And anyway, my friend said, that's what happens when you remember the truth of who you are. That the enemy is firing at you. He wants you to believe lies. But when you remember who you are in Christ, you can hold your hand up and those voices fall silent. They fall to the ground. I've latched on to that idea over the years. And anyway, I wrote this song one night after I read a really terrible review of one of my records, and it ruined my day. And I was struggling with my desire to find the guy who had written the review and give him a bad review at something. And so... anyway, I wrote this song that night. It's so easy to cash in these chips on my shoulder. So easy to lose this old tongue like a tiger. It's easy to let all this bitterness smolder, just to hide it away like a cigarette lighter. It's easy to curse and to hurt and to hinder. It's easy to not have the heart to remember that I am a priest and a prince in the kingdom of God. I've got voices that scream in my head like a siren. Fears that I feel in the night when I sleep. Stupid choices I made when I played in the mire. Like a kid in the mud on some dirty blind street. I've got sorrow to spare, I've got loneliness too. I've got blood on these hands that hold on to the truth. That I am a priest and a prince in the kingdom of God. Well, I swore on the Bible to not tell a lie, but I've lied and lied. And I've crossed my heart and I've hoped to die, and I've died and died. But if it's true that you gathered my sin in your hand and you cast it as far as the east from the west, if it's true that you put on the flesh of a man and you walked in my shoes through the shadow of death, if it's true that you dwell in the halls of my heart, then I'm not just a fool with a fancy guitar. No, I am a priest and a prince in the kingdom. I am a priest and a prince in the kingdom of God.
Thank you.
Let me see if I can make this work. Is this on? Okay. So I have this friend named Jody. I was going to do another song. What time is it? Is it? It's 35. I need to be done pretty quick here. I'm just going to stick here. Okay, so this is... I have a friend named Jody who is dying of AIDS right now. And She was attacked by a guy when she was in college about 18 years ago, very brutally attacked. She was hospitalized, and after the fact that after her recovery, they found out that she had gotten HIV from him, and she got married after that to the man who'd been in love with her since high school, and he's been her caregiver for the last 18 years or something like that. He's never left her side, and married her knowing that she was going to die sooner than later, and it's this beautiful love story, and at the same time, it's very heartbreaking to see this unfolding. And I met her for the first time about 6 years ago, went and did a concert at her house because they knew that she liked my music. And she's paralyzed now because she's got all these tumors in her brain and cancer, and her lungs are always full of fluid, and she's got multiple staph infections and MRSA infections and all this incredible pain. And she's mostly unresponsive. Like, most of the time, the painkillers that she's on make her in kind of this state of not quite a coma, because she can hear you, and they know that she can hear you because she cries when you pray with her. But it's heartbreaking and beautiful at the same time, because the first time I went to see her, she had not opened her eyes for about a week, and in the middle of one of my songs, she opened her eyes and smiled at me, and the first words out of her mouth were words about how good God was to her. And I was sitting there trying to play and couldn't. I had a giant lump in my throat and was trying not to cry. And I realized in that moment, as she sang along with these songs, that she believed the truth of these songs more than I did when I wrote them. And I came away from that meeting with her feeling like, if Jody can believe, then maybe the stories really are true. And so I visited her several times over the last couple of years. And a couple of years ago, I went to see her again, and she'd been in a coma for about a month, and this time I didn't think that she was going to wake up at all, and in the middle of this next song, she woke up again, and it's like watching somebody come up out of from underwater. Like, she just kind of floats to the surface and draws a breath and looks at you. Her eyes lock onto you, and she couldn't talk. She just wiggled her hand, and they ran and they got a piece of paper, and they held the paper underneath her hand and put a pen in her hand, and she couldn't look down. But she wrote for a minute, and when they were finished writing, they turned the paper around and showed me that she had written the words, "I believe in the invisible God." So I have that piece of paper taped to the wall of my bedroom. It's the first thing my wife and I see in the morning when we wake up. So this is for Jody.
I give you praise, O great invisible God, for the moon in the space of a dark night, for the smile on a face and the sunlight. I give you praise, O great invisible God, for the sound of the storm on the window, for the morning adorned with a new snow, for the tears on the face of the old man, made clean by the grace of the good Lamb. Invisible God. And oh, I long to see your face. Invisible, invisible God. All the works that you have made are clearly seen and plain as day. So mighty and tender, let me remember, I see you everywhere. Invisible God, in the seed that descends to the old earth and arises again with a new birth, in the sinner who sinks in the river and emerges again delivered. Invisible God. Invisible, invisible God. All the works that you have made are clearly seen and plain as day. So mighty and tender, oh Lord, let me remember that. Oh, your power eternal, your nature divine. Oh, creation. nation tells the tale that love is real and so alive. I feel you, I hear you, great God unseen, I see you. Invisible God, in the long cold death that the winter brings, in the sweet resurrection spring. Invisible God,
you guys are great. I don't have time to introduce this song, but I'm just going to play it and then we'll be done. Sing along with me at the very end of the song. This is a song about my story and how I went from being a total smart aleck preacher's kid to a smart aleck preacher's kid who does concerts about Jesus. Here you go.
I was a boy, just 9 years old. I heard the call and came. They buried me beneath the water, and then I rose again. Well, you know, my dad was a preacher man. I walked the aisle and I took his hand. He said, son, just do the best you can and say the words. I believe he is the Christ, Son of the living God. And through the years, I barely fell. I mostly dove right in, and I drank so deep from the shallow well, only to thirst again. Well, I sang the hymns at the summer camp, then I rocked and rolled with a lousy band, till I heard a song that took my hand and led me home. Christ, Son of the living God. Oh, and I believe he is the Christ, Son of the living God. And all I know is that I was blind, but now I see. Though I kick and scream, love is leading me. Step of the way, his grace is making me. With every breath I breathe, he is saving me. And I believe, oh, I believe. So when my body's weak and the day is long, when I feel my faith is all but gone, I'll remember when I sing this song that I believe.